Go ahead.
Excellent. We're going to call it to order. Can't stand, do the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
The United States of America and to the Republic, which
it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Can I get the roll call, please?
Okay. Meeting was called to order at 6:08 p.m. Roll call, Barbara DiGennaro.
Excuse.
Anita Dugato. Sarah Vidomsky.
Here.
Joseph P. Martino.
Here.
Neil Kurtica.
Here.
Donald Till.
Here.
Jim D. Martino. Robert Hyder.
Here.
Charles Sampson.
Present.
Mr. Mayor, there's six members present, so you have a quorum.
Excellent. Thank you. Number four, public portion. Anybody from the public would like to speak anything on the agenda tonight?
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Mayor, Joe DiMartino, if you could hold on 1 second. I have one deletion on the agenda. Number nine is a deletion. Mr. Mayor, do you hear me?
Yeah, so there's a deletion. Okay. For the water tank project on Capitol Street, you want to delete that?
Yes, sir.
You want to push that off? Any reason, or you just want to push that off? Something that's going to be good for the city?
Mr. Mayor, it's Corporation Council. It needs to be tabled to a future meeting. It's not ready to proceed at this point.
Oh, okay. All right. Number nine is deleted. All right, so we'll take number nine off. Anything else for addition? Well, no more additions, but any other deletions?
That's it.
All right, thanks. And then we can go to public portion. Anything from the public? Just state your name and address if you want to speak. Anybody from the public, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Gino DiGiovanni, 77 H Street, Derby. I just wanted to make a statement on the agenda item here, number five, the 2020 election absentee ballot applications. The first thing that I wanted to talk about was, I'm not sure if everyone is aware, but it's not mandated by the state of Connecticut per their website that I looked up. It's just advised that the cities or towns can mail out an application to every registered voter. the next thing is that the state of Connecticut made this available to the town clerk to do it in their special session in June. When I looked up the special session, this thing was in section 101. It was buried in like 800 pages. It was page 129 to do this, to allow the town clerks or the registers, if they choose, to mail out all applications. So when I looked up the application, all absentee ballot applications are on the state website. And anyone can fill out that application and mail it into the clerk's office. They could receive it, and then we can mail out an absentee ballot according to their website. We're going to spend $5,200 and I Mark's office doesn't have the money. The registrar's office doesn't have the money. And when I looked up the statistics on our website, if it's a presidential year, we usually get like 83.6% of the electorate that votes. But in an off election year for presidential election, we only get like 48%. Some years it was a little more, some years it was 50, but it averages out to like 48 and change percent of the electorate only votes. And that's only like 30, sometimes we get 2,800, 3,800, depending on the year. So, I mean, you're only talking 3,000 people that vote roughly. And for us to send out 7,100 absentee ballot applications when there's other ways for people to get the absentee ballot application, I just don't see the waste of that money. I think we could use the $5,200 towards something else that we need to use it for. The last thing that I just want to say from personal experience is last year when we did the election, personally, my wife got an application in her maiden name. She got one in her married name. I had a few other applications mailed to the house for people that lived here in the past. You know, it's by sending them out to all registered voters that we have never cleaned up the voter rolls. I mean, people at their residence could get 5 or 6 applications and, you know, no fault of their own. So who knows what could happen? I'm not implying anything would happen, but I just want to make you guys aware that, you know, we don't have to do this. Number one, it's not mandated by the state. And number two, if I vote absentee ballot almost every year because I'm usually hunting in Maine, so it's not a hard process to go in and get the application online and then they can mail it, or to go down to see the town clerk and get a ballot that way. So I just wanted to say that, and with that, that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Gino. Well taken on that. Anybody else from the public like to speak?
Well, I wasn't going to. Tom Linetti, Sunset Drive Derby. I'm also, I believe the same thing that Gino just said. Since when do we mail out absentee ballots to every registered voter? It's supposed to be absentee. If you can't make it, that's when you apply and you'll get the absentee. So you're going to give them out to 7,000 people? Who's going to fill them out for all these people? I mean, how do we control anything? How do we know everything is legit? I think that's crazy. I don't think we should mail in out. If they want it, they can mail in for it. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. Anybody else in the public like to speak?
Yes, Julie. Mr. Mayor. I'd like to add on to what, you know, Gino said.
Who is it? I'm sorry. Who was that?
Julian Campoli, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir. Go for it, Julian.
So, yeah, I'd like to add on to what Gino and Tom just said. And just so you guys know, last year in 2020, 8% of absentee ballot applications were actually undeliverable in the state. But I think this is kind of proof that a lot of these rolls are not up to date. So we're mailing these absentee ballots out to people and potentially could be introducing fraud into the election. I mean, you know, like Gino said, he's getting absentee applications for people from that used to live at his house. So I mean, what's to stop him from filling out those and, you know, stuffing the ballot box with, you know, the candidate that he wants to vote for? I mean, aside from that, I mean, what if, you know, a spouse has somebody who, you know, people in their home that are uninterested in voting in a municipal election, but they still fill out that request to get the ballots. And then, you know, say one person is voting for 5 people in the household, and maybe those 5 people don't necessarily agree with voting to that candidate. They don't really have the interest to vote, and you know, one person is kind of controlling the number of ballots. Yep.
Well taken, Julian. All right. Thank you, sir. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Anybody else in the public would like to speak?
You have to unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, stand by. Suzanne's trying to unmute herself here.
How's that?
There you go.
Yeah, I just wanted to share my experience. I tend to agree with some of the...
Hang on. Who is this? Name and address, please.
Susan Lanzaro Schroeder, 69 Seymour Avenue, Derby.
Okay, go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Julian and Tom. In my experience, in speaking with people that have been delving into this matter with absentees and ballots and the voter rolls not really being cleaned up. You know, I'm aware of at least a 10% problem with legit votes, as in one person actually was deceased and they were recorded, you know, as voting. And so this is just a tiny sampling, and others have cited their concerns, and this is my concern.
Okay, thank you, Sue. Anybody else from the public like to speak? Anybody else from the public would like to speak?
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of what I was saying, Mr. Mayor, it's Julian again, but it just seems like a really risky move to potentially introduce so much fraud to an election that in which, you know, the election for mayor last time around was decided by what, less than 10 votes or less than 20 votes or something. I mean, that could be easily overcome or easily swayed in one direction or the other if you're having 7,000 applications mailed out.
Well, take it. Anybody else from the public would like to speak? Anybody else from the public? Third and last call. Hearing none, we're going to move on to number 5, 2021 election absentee ballots applications. Move to authorize the town clerk's office to mail an application for absentee ballots to all registered voters for the 2021 municipal election, and to authorize payment for such action from the state COVID fund already received by the city in the amount of $5,200. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Sarah Wadomski.
Second,
Joe DiMartino.
Okay, we have discussion.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, this is Rob Heider. I happen to agree with everyone that spoke during public portion that these $5,200 can be better served elsewhere in the city. I know it's COVID relief money, but it certainly can be used elsewhere rather than mailing out absentee ballots. We have the opportunity to apply for the application without having it mailed to them. So,
any other discussion?
Mr. Mayor, may I speak on this?
Who's this?
This is Mark Arfalam, the town clerk.
Yep, go for it, Mark.
Okay, so this just to correct some of the gross misstatements. If somebody's saying that a dead person voted in Derby, then that matter should be brought forward. The registrar's office is responsible for maintaining the list. There's a Democratic and a Republican registrar who maintain the list, and our list happens to be, I think, very well maintained. This item is on the agenda because it was just not even 2 weeks ago that the Secretary of State's office informed the town clerks that this was an option for the towns. When people fill out an application for an absentee ballot, they have to sign it and they have to send it. And so people can't fill out more than one. They can only fill out one. And we've not had problems with that. So it's this office that handles that. And if there are problems with people, and the state sent out the applications last year, and to say that it's interjecting fraud into the election, there was no fraud. There were no implication that there were. If people are getting multiple applications, that again, that was sent out by the state. It wasn't sent out directly by the city. And I wrote the memo after discussion with your office, Mayor, and yep. Who indicated there wasn't a problem, and also that you indicated you were in favor of doing this as well. So it doesn't matter to this office, but we are in the middle of a pandemic, and if the COVID a variant or if there's problems with it that make it difficult for people to come and vote, that's why the towns and cities were given that option, and that's why it's before you to decide this. But if the mayor and those members of the Republican Town Committee who chose to speak on it tonight. If the mayor was not in favor of it, there was no point in putting this on the agenda. So it's not any other reason than to encourage people to vote in a safe manner. And COVID is an excuse that is allowable by law. That's what was passed in June. That the towns could do that was just a few weeks ago. So I certainly would not have put this on if I was not led to believe that people wanted this to go forward. So, you know, it is an absentee ballot. So we know about absenteeism here. And that's so it's certainly entitled, you know, entirely up to everybody on this board. And that money is there for COVID purposes, and you're responsible for that money. So I wanted to make those points on this matter.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
So, Mr. Mayor.
Julian, you can't speak now. You cannot speak now, Julian.
Mr. Mayor, this is Gino DiGiovanni. Since we're
Gino,
back
you
public speak. Gino. Speak.
Oh, excuse me. We're back on the public session. Mark just spoke. He's not.
No, we're not. No, we're not. No, he's. Guys. Gino, and Julian, you cannot speak during this part. We have a motion in front of us. This is called discussion on the motion. All right. Mark was asked as an elected official. He has that right to speak. You guys have already said your piece, and if you have you to let it. You ha- listen, Gino, you have to let it rest there. Okay. If not, then I, as a member of this Board of Aldermen, will ask Mr. Garofalo to take you off of this meeting. So sit tight and let us do our job. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, Charlie Sampson. Charlie Sampson. All right. Two things. Number one, Mr. Garofalo stated that the mayor's for this, and whether the mayor's for it or against it, he does not have a vote here. So it's whether the members of the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen are for or against this. Number two, there is a state site where people can go and fill out an application, which then gets forwarded to the City of Derby's registrars, who then will mail out the absentee ballots. So I, too, have a hard time thinking that we're going to spend $5,200 in sending out 7,100 applications to just see who wants to sign up. I get COVID, I get all that, but people are aware of COVID and people are aware of the process in which to get their absentee ballot. I don't believe we need to mail 7,100 registered voters an application to tell them how to do their jobs. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Anybody else like this question on this?
So this is Sarah. I have a question for Mr. Garofalo. What is the concern if the COVID variants get worse and, you know, this does not go through and people have to get their absentee ballots in at the last minute? What are the concerns staffing wise?
Well, if the people start calling for them, and typically if they're elderly or whatever and they can't download it, then we'll have to mail it to them. And if this happens in the last few weekends of the election, then it's going to require probably more overtime like we had to do last year just because of the sheer volume. If we were to manage this ahead of time, it would certainly be more efficient way to do it to get the applications out. So you know, the answer is we don't know. And again, I understand the mayor doesn't have a vote. And just a slight thing, the registrars don't mail out the absentee ballots, don't process the absentee ballots. The town clerk's office does. And then they're turned over via affidavit to the registrars for counting on election day. What do they care about?
I don't know.
Okay. Any other discussion? Any other discussion on this?
I'm unmuted.
Hearing none, can we take a roll call vote, please?
Sorry, Ms. Vidomsky.
Yes.
Mr. DiMartino.
Yes.
Mrs. Curtica.
Yes.
Mr. Sill?
Yes.
Mr. Hyder?
No.
Sampson?
No, sir.
And the motion, there's four in favor and two against.
All right, we'll go on to number six. Ground lease for a fuel cell facility on Coon Hollow Road. Discussion, possible action on approving a ground lease between the City of Derby and SCEF1 Fuel Cell LLC concerning the construction, operation, maintenance of a fuel cell facility on a portion of 49 Coon Hollow Road in accordance with the terms and conditions presented and authorizing the mayor to sign the ground lease presented together with all documents related thereto and required thereunder. Do you have a motion?
So moved, Charlie Sampson.
Second.
Second, Ron.
All right, any discussion? We got the been there. Any questions?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, if I may, just for the board's reference, I just want to remind the board on May 13th of this year, you held a public hearing concerning the lease of a portion of 49 Coon Hollow Road for purposes of the construction, operation, and maintenance of a fuel cell generating facility. You closed that public hearing and you awarded that lease to SCEF1 Fuel Cell, LLC. What is before you is a ground lease for purposes of advancing that award of lease. And I am I'm happy to answer any questions. And I do have representatives from SCEF1 Fuel Cell, got to get an easier name, LLC, here if you have any questions for them.
Any discussion? All right, hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Okay, go on to number seven.
Mr. Mayor, on behalf of Fuel Cell Energy, we thank you and the Board of Alders.
Thank you, sir. Get it running. We need money for the city.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Number seven, resolution regarding finance director signature authority. Discussion, possible action on a resolution terminating Joan Williamson as a city signature and authorizing the current finance director to be the signatory for the city and for all financial matters for as long as she holds that position, and authorizing the mayor to sign all documents needed to effect that change and have attached change of ownership form by email explaining the issue. Do we have a motion?
Don't move, Charlie Sampson.
Second.
Second, Joe DiMartino.
Thanks, Joe. Any discussion, any questions on it? It was basically Joan Williams is still on certain things there, so we need to get her changed off because some of our people that are working are can't get their monies because Joan's, they need Joan's signature. But we need your authorization to change that. Any other
Mr. Mayor, I think that summarizes, this is simply in order to advance certain financial obligations of the town, we need to have the proper signatory. And I believe Joan Williamson is someone who was around about 20 years ago. And for whatever reason, after she was no longer with the city, her name was never properly removed. So this is just changing the names of that properly, which requires a resolution and action of this body.
All right, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried, thank you. Number eight, 9-11 Hawthorne Avenue, Blight Lien Settlement. Discussion, possible action, accept $26,000 in full satisfaction of the outstanding blight fines and to authorize the release of the blight lien upon receipt of the payment. Do you have a motion?
Motion, Camille.
Second, Charlie.
Thank you, Camille.
Yes.
Second, Charlie. Any discussion?
You know, just for the board, Mr. Mayor, just for the board, there's a the owner of the property has a buyer that's willing to purchase the property, remediate the blight. But in order to do that, they need the blight lien released, and they're willing to pay $26,000 as a lump sum from the closing proceeds in full and final settlement of that blight lien. So the city would receive $26,000. We would release the lien. They would close on their transaction. The new owner would remediate the blight. And if there was a failure of remediation by the new owner, we would just start the process all over again and lien the property.
Thank you. Would we be able to put a time limit on how long they had to take care of the blight?
Yeah, we could. You know, the only thing I'd be careful about is I don't know with COVID, I don't know if that's affecting local contractors, but you just want to be careful of that. But you could always put a time period on it and then obviously set it so that it's subject to your review and extension.
It was just a question to ask. We can leave it, I guess.
Any other questions? Okay, all in favor?
I know this is Sarah. These monies, do they go into a separate line item? There's a blight fund or whatnot that these monies would go into?
I'll let Carmen address that. Carmen?
Yeah.
Yes. The answer is yes.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. 9 is done. Number 10, adjournment. You have a motion?
Motion to adjourn, 6:35.
Thank you, sir. Second? All right, everybody have a great night. Take care. Bye-bye.